It's Thursday, the day we read from your email.
And we'll start with comments on Daniel's Wordling's report about the number of troops listed as wounded in action in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the much larger number of troops who have been evacuated to hospitals for injuries that the Pentagon classifies as non-combat related.
Kathy Keene of St. Louis, Missouri writes, "Huge kudos to Daniel Wordling for his story on how the Pentagon has been counting and discounting casualties in Afghanistan and Iraq. This story was one of NPR's best exposés yet of the lies and inconsistencies of this administration and their consequences for soldiers whose lives have been ravaged by these wars."
Elizabeth Erickson of Sunnyvale, California, had a far different reaction. She writes, "He made our soldiers sound like a bunch of sissies. You'd never know from listening to NPR that many men think of combat as noble, of protecting our country as valorous and virtuous. Yes, war exposes a soldier to illness and discomfort, just as life at home does, and also to the chance to become a man, a courageous and responsible adult."
Our story about members of a prayer group in Iowa that prays for political leaders brought many strong reactions.
"I was completely moved," writes Renee Agee of Tuscaloosa, Alabama. "As a Christian, albeit a more liberal Christian, I have struggled with my decision of whom to vote for in the presidential election. These people in Des Moines made me realize that regardless of whom I vote for or who wins the election, it is all in God's hands."
Danny George of Renick, West Virginia writes, "This piece was a sop to the religious right. I seemed to hear most voices saying that they were praying for the re-election of President Bush as he was God's chosen one. Most of those praying for Kerry seemed to be saying that if he were to be elected president, that God would show him the error of his ways and direct him onto the path of righteousness. NPR needs to do better."
My interview with Federal Communications Commission Chairman Michael Powell brought in a number of letters, including several quibbles with the chairman's use of the word profane. He used it to describe the F word.
Among those who wrote, English teacher Chris Vander Ark from Madison, Wisconsin, who says this, "Profanity, literally meaning outside the temple, has to do with disrespect or contempt for sacred things, while vulgarity has to do with being crude, obscene, or indecent. I try to teach my students that using the right word makes a difference, and I think seeing the distinctions between these different words can help us more thoughtfully approach the decisions we face on these issues."
And finally, I stand corrected on a statement made during our piece on songs about our sense of smell. I refer to Romeo's Rose, that by any other name would have smelled just as sweet. Well, Jim Ryan in Norman, Oklahoma, quotes Shakespeare to remind us that, in fact, Juliet spoke of the rose as she thought lovingly of her Romeo.
Send your comments, be they stinky or sweet, to atc@npr.org. And please remember to tell us where you live and how to pronounce your name.